How much more time will you spend at a wayside inn? How much more time will you spend at a wayside inn?
This is Kabbalah 99. I'm Deborah Sophia. You've just been listening to the first few bars of a beautiful new song named Come Home from the album Raining Stars. It was composed and sung by today's fabulous guest, Zuleika, an international performer and educator who inspires dynamic creativity through movement arts. Welcome, Zuleika.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be talking with you today, Deborah.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. You've been quite an inspiration to me over the years, and I'm happy to be speaking with you now. You are involved in many things. You describe it as having many arms, but you have a common theme, which is movement and music. You call yourself a musician dancer. Tell us more about the impetus for what you do.
Well, I suppose you could say my family are musicians, classical musicians. We grew up studying classical music seriously since we were quite little. And so that's embedded in my fabric, you might say. It's woven into the way things are. I love music. I love all kinds of music. I studied Western classical music, and then I went on to study North Indian classical music. I'm a baby in it, but I love it very much. And I studied movement all my life. And in Indian classical movement, you have to learn music. So the whole thing is woven together. And that's really interesting to me. So that you have to know how to hear rhythm, you have to hear melody, you have to understand what's the story, what's the mood to portray it. So if you take that out of context, honoring the context, into all music and all rhythm and all feeling, then you can work with any kind of music and use it in a way that's inspiring.
One of the projects you have is called the Story Dancer Project. And This serves girls, women, and families in marginalized communities. I'd like to know whereabouts, what kind of marginalized communities. And the mission of the Story Dancer Project is to inspire positive change in the face of adversity through transformative movement and self-care practices that restore vitality and cultivate joy. Yes. Tell us about the Story Dancer Project.
Okay, well, I'm a story dancer. That means that I was inspired by the classics of North India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, where I studied, to work with story. And story, because inside of story is a lot of clues about how we live our lives and what happens as a result of it. And so when I perform, I tell stories sometimes with words and move at the same time. From that, I began to say I was a story dancer. So when I started the Story Dancer Project, it was a project that grew out of my own work. So I always was an artist in residence, starting with the state of New Mexico and going on to work all over the country, the US and then Europe and other places. And I would go into a school and do an assembly program for 500 kids at a time, every day or twice a day. And then I would go around in classrooms and do stuff with people, like, everybody raise your hands up in the air. Oh, harder, harder, feel the ceiling pop through into the sky. Okay, float down. And everyone would start to laugh because they felt better. Mm-hmm. And out of this whole experience of artists in residence and working with tons of people, I started working with battered family services and started collecting ways of working with people, kids, moms, dads, teachers, nurses. I've worked in almost every sector of society. And what came from it is something that I built and created called Take a Minute. And Take a Minute is little exercises that take a minute. Now they take less than a minute. Little things you can do, like stretch through your fingers, like you're reaching all the way through your fingers, and then relax. And just doing that circulates our energy. So like when you're washing dishes and your sponge fills up with water, and what do? You have to wring it out. And that's what we have to do in this body house we live in. So I started to create Take a Minute, and then it turned out to be a vehicle that I could use in many situations. So in the Story Dancer Project, we're a nonprofit international organization. And I go to different places in the world. I've been many places, but we have partnerships. And I train people inside of the communities in these self-care exercises, and then they continue with groups of people. So, for instance, in Delhi, India, we work in a very poor area in Nizamuddin Basti, around the tombs of a lot of great saints. I've trained there a whole group of people who carry these exercises into the school, the non-formal school, into the health clinic, into women all around the area. And it's really inspiring. It's so much fun to see somebody, you know, when they're feeling so bad, and then you do one little reaching exercise and everyone starts to laugh because the problems of life have been lifted. It's not a cure, yet it is an upliftment. One of our partners is called CanSupport. They're a palliative, they're the largest palliative home care-based organization. I don't know if it's India or Asia. And I've developed a special set of this Take a Minute self-care work. And I've trained many counselors, and they have teams of doctor, nurse, counselor, and driver, and they visit patients who are at the final stages of life. It's a huge project, and we work in Navajo Nation, working with new mothers. I've trained a woman who goes into the schools like I used to do there, and she works with thousands of children with these exercises. And there, she does a program that I developed myself, which is she reads stories to the children using Diné, their native language words. And then when she sees the kids get all squirmy and squiggly, she knows that's the time to do one of these exercises.
Well, it's very wonderful what you're talking about. A lot of thoughts have come up to my mind. And one is that by doing these Take a Minute exercises, first of all, you're showing that you care, that you've come in and you're taking the time to pay attention to the marginalized, at-risk communities, people of many sectors in society who just need a little bit of attention. And that little bit of attention is huge because they haven't been receiving that. So that's one thing. And then it helps them to get unstuck, because when our body's rigid, we feel stuck. And then by moving our body psychologically, we become unstuck and more into the flow. And then the third idea was the resilience. Even if it doesn't solve all their problems, it does help give them a little more resilience and energy to face what they're enduring in their lives. Does that resonate?
Yeah, that resonates. And the thing is, in this sector of the work, it's nonprofit and it goes into those kind of communities. On the same hand, we work in hospitals with nurses and in businesses, because actually everyone has the same problems. Mm. It's just that we notice it more in certain ways. You know, we don't notice it when somebody is very busy and they're very good at what they do and they're very successful and managing the big picture. But everybody has stress. Mm. Whether you have a lot of money or you have no money, you have stress about whatever you have it about. It's an interesting situation to see that the head of a hospital in India, one time I went to this big eye hospital, and this woman was the director, and she was really powerful and very, like me, short. And she said, "What does this Take a Minute?" And I said, "Well, if you have 1 minute, I can show you." She said, "I only have 1 minute. I'm so busy." And then we went in this closet area because there wasn't any private place. And we did this lift your arms up and do this little thing for a minute. And I said, "Well, how do you feel?" And she said, "Well, I feel completely better. I have so much energy. Okay, I want you to go with the janitors and the housekeepers and the nurses and the doctors and the IT people. And the... So we started a big project there for a while. And that
That's
was
fantastic.
Really... I think the thing about the body is that you're born, this is how you get here. This is our invitation, our dance card, if you want to say, to Earth. You have a body. And oftentimes when we move it, we feel exhilarated, we feel free, we feel enlarged, we feel, wow, everything's possible. But when we start to contract and all the things happen and our worries happen and everything, we come down and then we get tense and rigid, as you said, and pull in. And then we try to figure things out without the body, and then we feel embarrassed about our bodies, actually, you know, because we haven't been in them, and we say, oh, yes, I should take a walk, or, oh, yes, I need to do that exercise, or I should take a yoga class. And all those become shoulds, and then they pile up in your brain, and then your spine starts to shrink, you know. So take a minute is really like a little outreach for the body, mind, and the heart. It gets affected, your physical heart and your feeling heart.
And I noticed is on your website. People can sign up for that.
Yeah, we just launched a new thing where people can get the take a minute onto their screen and do it at their leisure and pick the different things they want to do it, how they want to do it.
At the end of the podcast, we'll make that clear how people can sign up for that. You said a lovely phrase, that our body is our dance card to Earth. Can you say a little more about that?
So, in these times that we're living in, I think a lot more people are in the body in a better way. Like, for instance, people are doing more yoga and Tai Chi and all the different dance things that are available now. I think when I speak about being in the body, it's like the thread that goes through everything. So you could be washing your dishes and you could be cleaning your tub, or you could be doing the laundry, or you could be getting dressed, and where are we, you know? So we are somewhere in our thoughts about what's going to happen or what happened that we were thinking about, and then we go out and we trip over a wire because we were thinking about something else, and that wire, even though we had told ourselves that wire was there, at that moment we were thinking about that other thing. So there's a lot of different ways that people are exploring getting into the body. And yet, what's funny is we're already in it. You know, it's not like we're over there and our body's in the chair. We're in it. But the people talk about it a lot of times. Like, and so, you know, there's practices people do about sensing things, feeling things. Those are good doorways for a lot of people. I find that the physical aspect of it, people think that if you're talking physically, you mean athleticism, or you mean putting yourself in some kind of a shape that will enhance the rhythm of the circulation for your kidneys, which is also a good thing. But what about the entire time? Like, what about all the time? What about when you get out of bed? Do you reach through your toes and fingers? And then when you get out of bed, do you just lunk yourself out and then push yourself up? Or do you actually, like, get in and see, oh, right, I can lift myself up? So we don't learn these things when we're in first grade.
So true.
You know, we need a jump start. Like, let's say you know that when you take a walk, you feel better at the end. You know that. But getting to the walk is always going to be the last thing on the list in a certain way, because you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this. So the doorway is really important. Sometimes I have to push myself through the doorway to practice. You know, I practice every day. I dance every day. And I do a lot of exercises. And I do a lot of different movement type of practices. And I sing. And so all these things take time. And now that we're all home, it's harder in a sense. We used to go to the studio and lock the door and practice.
Right.
Now I'm practice home, and I just look around and say, oh, I forgot to do that over there. I forgot to water that plant. That's how the mind works. So to still ourselves and then give ourselves 1 minute of stretching is better than every 2 weeks for an hour.
That's a good thing to remember. In our last conversation, you said the map of the body is a good way to have a portal to enter. Mm. So would you clarify what you meant by that?
I think that things knock on the door of our bodies, like your back hurts, or your leg is stiff, or your hip is bothering you. And sometimes people sit and go into that place and see what's the energy inside. Another way is to move from the places that call me. So let's say I'm worried about something in my family, and so I start moving and I can't stop thinking about that. So if I bring that into what I'm doing, that feeling is going to allow me to go through that doorway. I use it. I use the emotion of it.
And where does your spiritual life come into all this?
I don't think of spiritual life and regular life, to tell you the truth. I love devotion, and I love love, the big love that can connect people, you know, that can connect us into the universe and connect us with people. And I don't think of it as a practice in a certain house. But I understand that people do, and I also know many people who are my friends are working in different, you could say, spiritual doorways.
It sounds like your spiritual doorway is the body, in the here and now.
My spiritual doorway is the heart.
The heart.
And you can feel how your heart is. You know, if it gets collapsed, then if you reach through or do some kind of movement thing, it moves the energy around, and then there's an open space. And I think that's what we're talking about, is when we get encumbered by the problems and the difficulties of life. I mean, working in the areas where I've worked for so long, you know, in terrible situations. I mean, where 8 people are living in a cement room and they roll out a rug to sleep on and they put another one over everyone. They don't have running water. Those kind of places. And you go in and you do one of these little exercise things and everybody starts laughing. I've learned that that's a reality, you know. It lightens the load. So when the load is lightened, you feel grateful, you feel gratitude. You can remember, oh, there is joy in the midst of suffering. There is love, there is possibility, there is inspiration. And that to me is the spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you take the word spiritual, what does that mean? I mean, the word spirit means breath. So if you want to have a more spiritual life, I guess you would say you would be enlivened in the house that you live in to be able to extend ourselves to help others.
That's so beautifully
express
said.
Express it, you know. One of my expressions is dancing. That's a language for me. So I understand how to work with movement as a language with people. And I know that a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. So these little things that I like to do are doorways. They're little doorways that take us home.
New perspective, fresh perspective. Yeah. Another language that you work with is music. You offer uplifting meditative music recordings for contemplations and for healing work, or simply listening enjoyment. Tell us about your latest release, Raining Stars, which is a devotional patchwork robe of songs, inspired by the lives of mystics, ancient texts, and music.
Yeah. It happened a long time ago that I was, I was a piano player. I was a pianist as a child and into my teens and beyond. And when I started studying Indian classical music, I went to Afghanistan and lived there with a family, and my teacher was a very great ustad, or master musician. And he was a composer, he was a tabla artist, and he wrote many compositions, and he played the harmonium when he sang certain kinds of compositions, poetry. In the Eastern world, people use, well, everywhere really, people take inspiring poetry and set it to music. Mm-hmm. And I watched him do this daily, and I'm sure it kind of filtered in through me. And when I came back to America, someone gave me a harmonium. And this was in a time when people hadn't seen this instrument. Now everyone does kirtan and you see them everywhere and people use them. But at this time, people hadn't seen it. And I've always been inspired by, I suppose you could say, the mystics, because they tell the truth. They tell us how things are. Like they tell you, it's hard, and then you can look at it like this. And then you read that and you go, oh, that's really helpful. Like Rumi, who I love, Rumi says, you know, sometimes you look at a person and you see an angel, and sometimes you see a cynical snake. They're both right. They're both true. We're half and half. So when you read these kind of things from people who have been awakened, that's really helpful. That's a map.
Well, you mentioned Rumi, and we'll talk about Rumi in a minute, but I would like for you to mention your title song, Raining Stars. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, Raining Stars actually is my own words. When I came back to America, and you know, there was all the wars in Afghanistan and Russia, a lot of people escaped Afghanistan and went to Europe. And my teacher and his whole family got out and they went to Europe. And one day I heard that I was looking forward to seeing him again, you know. And I heard that he had been killed, and that was shocking. At the time, I was so sad, and I didn't know what to do with it. And somebody said, well, you know, you should just sit down with your harmonium and sing your heart out. And so I decided, well, I'd never done anything like that. I kind of, you know, made a fire in the fireplace and sat down with my harmonium, and I was looking forward to just like pouring out my grief. And instead, this song came out and it says, my heart is raining stars. Is your heart raining stars too? And then it goes on to say, the sun comes up in the morning, the moon, she rises in the night. If you take a ride in the wheel of nature, you'll see everything is going to be all right. And I was so upset because I wanted to sing out how bad everything was. And it came out, everything's going to be all right. And that's turned out to be a song that I love to sing, and people love to sing it with me. And the idea now of Raining Stars is so beautiful to me. Like, I didn't, you know, compose it. I didn't sit down and write it in music. It came the way it came. And that's really how a lot of my songs have, they come like that. They come as little presents to help me.
It's like poetry and music together.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And sometimes I've danced to some of my songs.
And is that available, The Raining Stars?
Yes.
Okay, we'll direct them to that. Okay. At the end. Okay, great. If people want to learn more about you, they should go to zuleika.com. Would you like to spell that for everyone?
I would. And I'd like to say that that is a name that was given to me for my dancing in my teens. And it's been a lot of trouble. When I go into schools, I would say, hi, my name is Zuleika, like a zoo and a lake and And then they would go, oh, Zuleika. It's spelled Z for zebra, U-L-E-I-K-H-A. It's a mouthful, .com.
All right. Well, I'll post that as well so they can see it.
Thank you so much. It's a really interesting to talk with you, Deborah. You've brought up so many interesting questions that make me have to review myself.
Well, it's been delightful talking with you.
I feel really good about it. I had such a good time talking with you.
What I'd like to do with your permission, Zuleika, is to play in full measure the song we opened this podcast with, Come Home, from your new album, Raining Stars.
Yes.
How much more time will you spend at a wayside inn? How much more time will you spend at a wayside inn? Don't you want to come home? Don't you want to come home?
For more mind-heart awakenings like these, you can follow us on this podcast and on our blog at Kabbalah 99. That's where we discuss the weekly Torah portion through the lens of today's challenges and offer practices to stay sane, grounded, and connected. If you like this episode, please remember to tell one friend about it. Next week, we'll hear from another thought leader who will help us to explore our experience of life and our place in this universe of wonder. Thanks for listening. I'm Deborah Sophia. See you next week.